the St. Catherine's area visiting here. I assume, is it a family wedding you're here for? Paul, what are you in Vancouver for?
Well, we had a bit of a holiday, so.
Oh, well, that's even a funner reason for travel. You get to, anyway, we're glad you're here. He has family in Vancouver, and we're glad that he's here. Paul, come and minister to us. Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to have to do something here. First of all. Okay, you sitting back here?
Computers are marvelous things. They encourage us, but they're always a state of confusion. So just be patient with us as we try to get both the audio and the visual working this morning.
Okay, we hope this is going to work. I have done it before and it's worked, but I generally have my computer right up here, which means that I don't have quite, I have a wireless mouse, but it doesn't seem to want to reach that far. Let's turn in our Bible, shall we, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We have some verses on the screen. We're not going to read them all because of time, but we're going to read Luke chapter 22. Very familiar portion this is. And I'm sure that a lot of you already know this, but you know what? Review is a good thing. And Scripture talks about it. Scripture talks about, you know, raising our children and telling them about these things and so on and so forth. And it's good because it brings questions up and helps them to learn and so on. And so we're going to review a couple of things today that I hope will be a benefit and an encouragement to you. Luke 22, verse 19. We read there, Luke 22:19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, we just read about that back in Luke, right? And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft or as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We'll stop right there in our reading. Father, we do pray that you would just help us to understand what you want us to know from these passages and other passages that we look at this morning. We pray for help, that we might be able to present this in a way that is honoring to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do ask for help for those in the audience, that they may take in what is said and understand it. So we ask for your blessing in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen. All right, we'll change the, just press the left button. There we are. All right, the first thing we want to do is find out, what is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? Why should we have the Lord's Supper? Well, we've read about it. Okay, the first thing it says, in remembrance of me. Now that's key. We are to do this in remembrance, or to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that back in Luke chapter 21 and 19. This do ye in remembrance of me. Then again, twice over, it's mentioned, as Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says that in verse 24, and he says it again in verse 25. And so there's a concern that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to remember him, who he is, what he has done. That's important. The fact that he is the Lamb of God, the fact that he is God, the Son of God, the fact that he is the Son of Man, paralleled there. Okay, he was truly man and he was truly God. Hard for us to understand that. But the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper, all is there to remember him, not to remember us. Some of us get that mixed up. Yeah. But it's to remember him. All right? The second thing is, do ye this to show, you do this to show the Lord's death. In other words, it takes us back to Calvary, to where he was crucified for us. And we remember that, why he was crucified. He didn't need to be crucified for himself. He was perfect. He had never sinned. And death is a result of sin. Right? But he died. He died for you, and he died for me. And then that goes on. That's found in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians. Ye do show the Lord's death. And then it says, next, till he come. In other words, he's coming back. We're only going to do this while we're here on earth. Why? Because when we get there, we're going to see him. We're not going to need emblems like this to remind us. We're going to see him and see him in all his glory. Now, you talk to some individuals and they say, well, I really don't go there because I don't get much out of it. You know what? You notice? It's in remembrance of me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's you to show forth his death. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he come, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. And it's for him to get something out of it. And for the Father to get something out of it. Not for me to get anything out of it. But you know what? We have a tremendous God. And when he gets something out of it, he turns around and blesses us. Amen. So we get something out of it too. But when we come with the purpose of us getting something out of it, we've blown it. We come so that he gets something out of it. And then we get the blessing. Okay? Now, next. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. I just delight in this thing. Some people, you know, they talk about, well, these pictures, these symbols, these things that are in the Old Testament, they really are for the Old Testament. They aren't anything for us. But you know what? There are some tremendous lessons in these things. And I want you to notice something. As I've been giving some teaching on the tabernacle, I just have been thrilled with this. Notice Exodus chapter 25. In this chapter, God comes to Moses and he says, I want you to build a tabernacle for me so I can meet with my people. And so he starts off, and you'll notice the first 9 verses tells about gathering and the materials and what materials God wants. And then in chapter 10, and then verse 10 of chapter 25, what he does here is, you'll notice, he says, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood. So God starts where he is, and eventually he works out to where we are. And he starts building the tabernacle, and he tells Moses, I want you to start with the ark. Okay, that's verse 10. Verse 10 down to verse 16. And then the next thing he talks about is the mercy seat, which is the lid for the ark. And he talks about that from verse 17 down to verse 22. Now, as if you know about the tabernacle, the next thing that you think, or I would think, he would talk about as he comes out, the next piece of furniture, he would probably talk about the ark, the altar of incense, because that's the next thing. But you know what? He doesn't do that. There are 3 pieces in the holy place. There's the altar of incense, there's a lampstand, and there's the table of showbread. And what does he do? He immediately jumps from where he is, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, and he immediately goes to the table of showbread. Verse 23, thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. That's the table of showbread. Now, the table of showbread had 2 things on it. Okay? There was the showbread, and connected with it was what they called a libation offering or a drink offering. In other words, they had the bread and the wine. Right? Now, what does that tell me? That tells me that the next thing that God considers important is remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that important to him. Because he jumps off, he overcomes everything else except he jumps right straight to the table of showbread. That's important to God. Is it important to me? Is it important to you? Now, there's a few other things that we notice about the table of showbread. And I believe that it is a preview of the breaking of bread. Okay, we're going to notice something. Because our next point is the practice. How often should we practice this? How often should we have the Lord's Supper? We look around Christendom today, and quite frankly, those places known as Plymouth Brethren, as the government wants to call us, seem to be the only ones that do it once a week. Why should we do it once a week? I mean, some do it once a month. Some may even do it twice a month. Some will do it once a year or twice a year, and so on. How often should we do this? Well, you probably still have Leviticus 25 open. All right? Back up to chapter 24. Exodus. Go over to Leviticus chapter 24. Interesting thing here. We notice the comparison between the table of showbread, right? And the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper. Notice what it says in Leviticus 24 and verse 8. Every month. Is that what it says? No. It says every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by the everlasting covenant. And as we go on in that chapter, we discover that the priests were to take part in eating that bread as it's changed. Every Sabbath. Once a week. Intriguing, isn't it? Now, we go back to 1 Corinthians. Hopefully you still have your finger there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25 says, as oft, which means as often as ye eat this bread, you do show, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Okay, as oft. In other words, it is to be done often. Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread, okay, and drink this cup, it's to be done often. Now, it's intriguing that back in Acts chapter 2, verse 20, or verse 46, we discover there, and they, that is the early church, when it first started, continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, some feel that they broke bread every day to start with. Now, that can also be interpreted eating, okay? That's fine. We can take it either way. But by the time we get to the end of Acts, we go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and we read, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So we discover that by the end of Acts, the churches, the local churches, were breaking bread every week. Now, Aubrey DeLandry, fellow from Northern Ontario, up around North Bay, told the story once. Okay? of a salesman who was away from his wife. And he said, if you were a salesman traveling away from home and you couldn't get home every night, but you had the choice of coming home every weekend or once every month, which would you choose? Well, if you say once a month, you better see Brother Harold for some counseling in your marriage. We are Christ's bride. We should have that desire to remember him every week. Now, it doesn't say weekly in here, but there's an interesting thing that I want to just share with you. I wrote this in an email, and I'm going to read my email to an individual who was questioning this sort of thing. All right? I'm going to give in this email four indications why we should do it once a week. Okay? Point one. It is interesting that the first two weekends, Resurrection Day and the following weekend, the Lord appeared to the disciples in John 20. Okay? You will notice in verse 26, that verse 26 states, after 8 days, again his disciples were within and Thomas with them, then came Jesus. And so it would indicate, during Jewish time, that it was the one Sunday and then it was the next Sunday, once a week. And the Lord appeared both those first two Sundays after he rose. Okay? Key there. Now, point number two, while the disciples may have broken bread initially from house to house in the start of Acts, it seems that the phrase could just mean eating, or so some would say, or so some would say. Can't even read my notes here. However, the important point is that they settled into doing it once a week at the end of Acts. This seems to have been the practice from then on, even down through many centuries, so states Didache and Justin Martyr, which is a couple of historians. The verse I was thinking about was in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, where John Reed states that the reason once a week is not mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11:20, where Paul refers to when you come together, before, therefore into one place, is because the Corinthians and the church as a whole knew why they all came together into one place. It was to celebrate the Lord's Supper. When Paul was at Troas in Acts 20, verses 4 to 13, he appears to have arrived on a Monday, according to verse 6. But even though he was on an urgent trip, he waited around until the following Sunday, which was the Lord's Day, for the gathering of the assembly and to break bread with them, according to verse 7. So it was important for Paul to break bread every week. Point number three. It seems obvious to me that 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 indicates that they practice coming together on the first day of every week, and they would break bread when they did so on the first day of every week. See also Acts 20 and 7. And the New American Standard says, when we were gathered together to break bread. Their purpose then was to break bread on the first day of the week. And 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, the New American Standard says, on the first day of every week. And this seems to agree with the original Greek text. And then finally, And because of time, we're going to close after this. But the fourth point is this, and I found this intriguing as I searched it out. You should be aware that many early church, early leaders of the church have also argued for such an observance, including John Calvin, Presbyterian, who wrote in his Institutes of the Christian Religion that the Lord's Supper should be observed very frequently and at least once in a week. That's John Calvin. John Wesley founded the Methodist Church, led his followers every Sunday in observing the Lord's Supper. Okay? C.H. Spurgeon, who was Baptist, wrote these words, "My witness is, and I think I speak for many of the Lord's people now present, that coming as some of us do weekly to the Lord's table, we do not find the breaking of bread to have lost its significance. It is always fresh to us. I have often remarked on Lord's Day evening, whatever the subject may have been, whether Sinai has thundered over our heads or the plaintive notes of Calvary have pierced our hearts, it always seems appropriate to come to the breaking of bread. Shame on the Christian church that she should put it off to once a week, once a month, and mar the first day of the week by depriving it of its glory in the meeting together for fellowship and breaking of bread, and showing forth the death of Christ till he come. Those who once know the sweetness of each Lord's day celebrating his supper will not be content, I am sure, to put it off to less frequent seasons." So there's three men not claiming to be brethren, whatever that means, that really felt that breaking bread once a week was the thing to do. So it's not a brethren thing. It's a matter of coming through and doing what the Lord wants us to do. So time is up, and so we leave it there and trust that that will be an encouragement to you to make sure that you are here. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't remember him if you don't know him. Okay? But if you know him, you should be here Sunday morning to remember him as he's asked us to do. May it be so for his glory. Father, we ask that you would just bless this time and speak to us. We ask it in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen.